Look at the person next to you and say, neighbor, I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. Because today's going to be a good day. Hey, we've been in an incredible series called How to Love that we're concluding today, but we've been declaring our word for the year. This is our year to be unshakable, unshakable. We've been saying that a shaky world needs an unshakable church. And so we've been declaring it since January 1, and we've been reading our scripture of the year straight out of Hebrews chapter 12. We've read this every Sunday of the year, so we're going to do it again today just before I introduce our special guest. But come on, I want to shout out all the men of God one more time, because at the men's gathering, they read the scripture, and I didn't have to put it on the screen. That's how we roll, social men. But come on, let's read it as one big family. You ready? Here we go. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship. Deeply reverent before God. For God is not an indifferent bystander. He is actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to burn. And he won't quit until it's all cleansed. God himself is fire. Y'all sound better every week. Oh, buckle up your seatbelts, because you are in for a treat. He's no longer a guest, because he preached the first service and preached the paint off of the walls, and now he's a part of the family. I could read you his bio, but hear me, his bio really wouldn't even articulate the breadth of what God is doing in him and what God has done through him. He's an author. He is a preacher. He is a film producer. If you don't know who he is, you've seen his work. If you've ever seen The Pursuit of Happiness or Karate Kid, I love this brother's heart and his passion. God is using him in Hollywood. There's a lot of people that just want to light up the light. I love people that are actually trying to light up the darkness. And that's what this brother's doing today. He's here with a word to close out our series, Social. Come on, put your hands together for my brother, Devon Franklin, that's about to preach the word. Let's go.
Amen, 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 amen. Now listen, same thing I told at 9 o'clock. All of that's cool for me, but guess what? I didn't wake you up this morning. I didn't start you on your way. So why don't you give praise where praise is really due? No, 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 no. Come on, come on, come on. Why don't you praise him like you know him? Why don't you praise him like you love him? Come on, somebody. Why don't you give God praise? You've been holding on to this praise your whole week. Your boss has been stressing you out. Your coworkers getting on your nerves. And you came to the house of God to get free. Who the Son says free is free indeed. Don't hold back your praise. Let go and let God today. Who am I talking to right now? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Praise him like you know him. Praise him like you're happy to be here today. Praise him like you're grateful for life. See, here's what happens. Here's what happens. Too often, we get up and we fast forward through the fact that we got up. No, 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 no. Pause for a minute. We get up and we start worrying about what God hasn't done. Okay, but we got up and we have the ability to even worry about it. That's the blessing. So if God doesn't do anything else today, would you praise him that he woke you up? There are some that did not wake up, but you did. Let him know you love him. Let him know you appreciate him. Let him know you thank him. Who am I talking to? Come on, Social Dallas. Here's the other thing that I know. The enemy wants you to be in the service, but not be in the service. You catch that? You can be here physically, but that does not mean you're here mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And what happens, the word says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So too often we allow the problem we have in the parking lot to come into the pew, and it blocks our view of what he's about to do. So when you praise him, you're pushing through your problem and you're creating room for the solution. Anybody want to receive a solution this morning? You better praise him. Praise him like you know him. praise him like you believe his word. Anybody expecting a blessing this week, give him a down payment of praise right now. Hey, listen, I just got off a plane from Los Angeles, California. And last week, I went to the Oscars. Anybody heard of the Oscars, the Academy Awards? And what was so interesting to me, and I find this fascinating, when you walk down the red carpet, there are fans that are in the stands at the Oscars. And they get crazy over celebrities that star in their favorite movie or TV show. And I say, this is very interesting. A fan can give praise to a celebrity that ain't never done nothing for him. But we come in the house of God, and we can't praise Jesus who shed his red blood on the cross. Don't let a fan give a celebrity more praise than you give your God. Who am I talking to right now? Hey, come on. You may never get a chance to walk a red carpet, but you can allow his red blood to cleanse you from your sins. Oh, we gotta go. Please have your seat if you can. Please have your seat. If you can tell, I'm excited to be here. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray right now you would take your stand behind this desk. Guide us in this word and allow it to cut through our heart. And let us not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you give it up for your pastors, Pastor Robert, Pastor Taylor? Come on, you can do better than that. Amen. I am so honored to be here. I've been watching your relationship series from afar. We have so many mutual friends, but this is the first time we're getting a chance to meet. And when I got the DM from your pastor to come, see, a lot of y'all don't realize DMs can be from God too, amen? Amen. When I got the DM to come and to finish off the relationship series, I knew it was an answer to prayer. Because about last summer, almost a year ago, God put on my heart to give this word that I'm gonna give you. And to my surprise, it went viral and a million views on YouTube. Because what I know is in this world of being single, the culture wants singles to act like something's wrong with them. But I came all the way from LA to let you know. Any singles in the house, who am I talking to? Amen. Now, I got a question. First of all, singles, do that again. How y'all feeling? Let me tell you something. Okay. Anybody in a relationship? You know why some of the yells were, look, because you might be next to somebody and you're not sure your status. You're like, are we, you know, anybody married in the house? Amen. Now, I need you to know that even though you may be in a relationship, we're all a single, meaning we're all an individual. So I want to speak from this idea of being one of one, the truth about being single. And it's kind of like a sequel to your pastor's message of living single. So let's go to the word. I want to start with Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I want to take us back to the beginning, and here's what it says. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Man became a living being. That's another word for saying man became a living single. Do you see that the divine design is a single? Turn to your neighbor and say, God created a single first. He did not create the couple first. And here's what's so interesting. What I find is that so often, if you're like me, you were raised in a culture that wanted to push you through singleness into a relationship or marriage. Anybody been asked the question, why are you still single? Anybody been there before? That question really upsets me because it implies that there's something wrong with being single. Now, the next time someone married asks you why you're still single, I want you to ask them, well, why are you still married? Because there's nothing wrong with being single. It's just where I am. I don't know who I'm talking to. You're not single because you're a half. You're single because you're whole. Who am I talking to right now? Oh, I got to get to my notes. But here's what happens in the culture is that we rush people through singleness into relationships, into marriages, and then we wonder why they don't work because we never took the time to get the power of what it means to be single. And if I don't know what it means to be single, how am I going to then try to be one with you? And here is the truth, and I stand on this stage telling you not just what I know, but what I've experienced. I did not know what it meant to be single until I got divorced. I didn't know the true meaning about single. And I feel like maybe if I understood what it meant to have been single, maybe I would have been better in a couple. Because a couple is just two singles. And the strength of the couple is as strong as the strength of the singles. And so if I'm not a strong single, then I'm not going to be strong in the couple. You catch that? What does it mean to be single? It means to be an individual. Individuality is key to compatibility, and compatibility is key to sustainability. The strongest relationships are made up of the strongest individuals. So when you look at the word and he creates Adam, what he's doing is he's creating someone who is a single who is one of one. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm one of one. No, what does that mean? It means there's nobody else like you. It means you're unique, you're distinctive, you're worthy, you're powerful, you're creative, you're amazing. You have to understand that when God created you, he absolutely broke the mold. You are one of one. When you pull out your phone to take that selfie, I want you to say, oh God, you did a good job. Come on. No. See, some of y'all get uncomfortable with that. Why would you want somebody to affirm you when you ain't affirming yourself? When you pull out that phone, say, God, wow, why did you give me all of this handsomeness and beauty? And ooh, anybody who's beholding me is beholding a beautiful sight. You gotta speak it to yourself. Come on, somebody. Why do I say this? Because too often we want somebody to do for us what we don't do for ourselves. If you don't think you look good, why do you want somebody else to think you look good? Come on, somebody, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm the finest thing in here. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you realize who you sitting next to? You might be watching online, say it to yourself. Come on, you are one of one. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. You are special, you are powerful. There's a destiny and a call over your life. Why would you squander your destiny because you haven't been coupled yet? I'm so tired of coming across singles who say, well, if I was just in a relationship, I would be happier or I would feel better. Pause for a moment. I got a news for you. If you're not happy now, you won't be happy then. Let me say it for those in the back. If you are not happy now, you're not gonna be happy then. Why do I say that? Because if you or I don't practice happiness, what are the things that make us happy? What are the things that bring us joy? If I don't practice that as a single, as an individual, I'm gonna get into the relationship and I'm gonna want that person to do for me what I'm not doing for myself. And then when they don't make me happy, I think something's wrong with them, but the reality is something's wrong with me. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. I came from LA. I gotta give you this truth. Here is the reality. Here is the truth. You heard that statement, you make me happy? Anybody heard of that statement? Oh, you make me happy. That sounds good, but it's actually problematic. Why? Because the same person you empower to make you happy, you also empower to make you sad. I don't want anyone to make me what I am not myself. I am happy, and that person contributes to the happiness I already have. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but become the cultivator and the keeper of your happiness so that you don't try to have someone do what they're not qualified to do. I'm here to tell you, too often we put another person in the position of God and ourselves, and we want to know why the relationship's not working, because God is our source, and we're trying to treat the relationship like they're our source.
I'm sorry, y'all. I love you so much, I gotta tell you the truth. God wants me to tell you, in order to be one of one, you have to know that you right now are good enough. You're good enough. Come on, somebody, you're good right where you are. You're good. You don't even realize how good you are. You letting your friends try to get in your ear and tell you there's something wrong with you because they're all dating or they're all married. Because we're in Texas and a lot of people get married young and all this. Let me tell you something. The reason why you're single is because you're selective. Now, that doesn't mean that those in a relationship aren't selective. Here's what I mean by that. Right now, all the singles, raise your hand. Right now, you could go on a date right after service if you wanted to. Am I right? There is somebody right now that you could go on a date with. Am I right? But you say, I'm a wait because I'm selective. Because the last time I just dated today, I know what happened there. So I'm selective and I'm okay to be an individual by myself, finding peace, joy, love, and happiness because I'm selective. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm very selective. Not everybody gets the privilege of getting to know me. Come on, y'all. You, the confidence level in you, I want to come up. Because I want you to walk around like you are God's best. Because you are. Do you know, too often we try to become what somebody else wants us to be instead of being who we are. If you want to bring the right person into your life, it's not about trying to make yourself more attractive. It's about becoming the fullness of who you are. And the fragrance of your confidence and your self-esteem will bring in the right person at the right time. I don't know who I'm talking to. Turn to your neighbor, say, own it. No, turn to your neighbor, say, you gotta own it. So let's go to verse 15. Verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. What does that mean? To tend means to service it, to serve it. And to keep it basically means to guard it. Now here's what I find very, very interesting. That as a man, he was given the Garden of Eden to serve it. To all the men of God in the house, if you want to know if you're being a man of God or if you're slipping into toxicity, do you live to serve or do you live to be serviced? Y'all like, wait a minute, Devon, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Because here's what I mean. As men of God, we have to be after the likeness of Christ and we serve. We are here to serve. Amen? And too often, culture wants us to believe that as men, we are here to be served. But in my experience, when we as men serve, we find value, we find peace, we find contentment. And then as we serve, God allows us to be aligned with someone who also values that service and will return the favor. Who am I talking to right now? I gotta keep going. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Let's pause. God says, it's not good for the man to be alone. Now, he's not saying it's not good for the man to be single. What he is saying is, it's not good for the man to be isolated and unsupported. So in order to fix the problem, I will create a support system for the man. I gotta give y'all a tip. I'm just letting you know, as speaking on the, you know, single men in the house, to the women that may be watching or in the house, a lot of people say, oh, you know, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. That's not true. The way to a man's heart is through support. When you are supportive of what that man is doing, what he is created to do, where he is going, what his dreams and visions are, and then he supports you, that is when your relationship goes to the next level. But too often, can I say something truthful? Can I give you a commercial break? Too often we get mad when someone spends more time on their purpose than they do on you. If you are attracted to their purpose to begin with, why then are you distracted once you get with them? Ooh, I don't know who I'm talking to right now. I'm trying to help you. Because you've been wearing out your partner because they're not spending enough time with you, but your partner's saying, wait, don't you know I'm about my Father's business?
And yes, I can spend time with you, but I gotta make sure I am honoring my commitment, which is my purpose. Can anybody just go ahead and give it up if you are walking in your purpose? Who am I talking to right now? Are you prioritizing your purpose? Ah, this is critical. It is not good for the man to be isolated, unsupported. So God says, I will make the helper. Pause. Adam did not go and try to make his own help. He allowed God to do it. God said, I will do it. And one of the reasons why you may be so frustrated, why you may just be so depressed right now, is because you're trying to do what only God can do. Oh, let me just take a step further. See, too often we try to do the business of God, which is the how. How's it gonna happen? Anybody have a vision from God that you have not done yet? Come on, let me be honest. Come on, be honest. This is the world's largest therapy group. Go ahead and raise your hand. Is there something that God has told you to do that you haven't done? Let me see. Wave your hands. It's okay. We're all in this together. So if you know that God has called you to do it and you haven't done it, one of the reasons why we don't do it is because we're still focused on the how. How's he going to do it? Lord, I don't have the money, I don't have the education, I don't have the resources, I don't have the friendship group. How are you going to do what you just showed me in my mind? And because we don't know how, we don't do. But faith without works is dead. When I was a teenager, God gave me the vision to go to Hollywood and to make films and television shows. And it was so interesting that when I began to share that vision with other people in my church, they would say, you can't do that. That's Sodom and Gomorrah. Hollywood is the devil's playground. How are you going to go to Hollywood and keep your faith? Pause. My response to them was, well, how many days have you worked in Hollywood? Okay, see, here's what happens. We submit what God called us to do to a vote of somebody that God didn't tell them what we're supposed to do. So if that person that we're trying to get confirmation from is not walking in their confirmation, how can they give you confirmation? If they're not walking in their dream, how can they encourage you in your dream? If they're not living their purpose, how can they be supportive of your purpose? You have been asking people the wrong question. Because when you're one of one, you gotta go do what God called you to do, regardless of who believes it or not. I went to Hollywood at 18 years old because I said, listen, God is calling me to this business. I had no friends, no family, nobody I knew was in Hollywood, but God was. Some of y'all are trying to network your way into your destiny. If you would just network with God, you're gonna see God open up a network. Network with your Father. Get into his word. Network with Jesus. And the network is gonna open up your net worth. Who am I talking to? I say, well, listen, maybe those that came before me compromised their faith, but I believe I'm one of one and God is going to open up a door if I don't compromise him. Now watch this, 18 years old, I get an internship interview for the company that manages Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith, Babyface. Some of y'all got here because of Babyface, because I know we got a young crowd here. Amen. Y'all don't even know who I'm talking about. Some of you Google it after service. Amen. And I went in there at 18 years old. And they said, why do you want to be in entertainment? I said, because I want to make change in the world. We went on with the interview, and at the end of the internship interview, they asked me, is there anything else you want us to know? Now, I was raised as a Christian. I was raised in the church, and I was also raised observing Sabbath. So from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown, I wouldn't go to I wouldn't work. I wouldn't go to school plays, jobs, basketball games, dances, all of it. So in that moment, I'm about to get my foot in the door of Hollywood. And God says, are you gonna honor me or not? Too often we want the door of opportunity to open more than we're focused on how it opens. I didn't wanna get into Hollywood leaving God out. So I said to them, I said, listen, I observe the Sabbath. So if taking this internship would require me to work on the Sabbath, I won't take it. Why did I say that? Because I needed to know, is God in it or not? And the only way I'm gonna know if he's in it is if I honor him. I don't know who I'm talking to right now.
You got to honor him. You got to put him to the test. You got to not be afraid to stand in your belief, 10 toes down. Who am I talking to? And if the door doesn't open, it's not your door. If the relationship leaves, it's not your relationship. But when you stand in the power of who you know God to be, you will then be able to evaluate what's right and what isn't for you. Hey, who am I talking to? And they gave me the internship. They said, no problem, we'll work around that. Do you know I have been in Hollywood for 27 years and have observed the Sabbath for 27 years? My career has not slowed down, it's accelerated. Why? Because I'm one of one. And I honored him in the process, and in result, he honors me. He honors you. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't compromise. Hey, I gotta keep going. Am I saying too much? Verse 19. I want to back up. I will make him a helper comparable to him. I will make him a helper that corresponds with him, that's like him. I will do it. If you only knew what God was doing on your behalf right now, you would not offer up another complaint. If you only knew who he is preparing for you and what he is preparing for you, you wouldn't complain. You would go ahead and get ready to receive it. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. Some of you have been wanting the right person, and God is saying, I gotta get them right while I get you right. But understand, I have an intent to match you with the right person. If you would stop complaining to me, God is saying, and if you would start thanking me, you may see that person arrive in your life faster than it is now. Who am I talking to? Too often we start to complain to God, but you don't even know what God is doing right now. May I submit for your consideration? God, right now, at this very moment, is putting you on the mind of someone who's going to bless you. Whew. Right now, he's putting you on their mind. God is preparing for you the right life, the right fit, the right situation. The question is, are you gonna be right? Am I gonna be right? Amen? Am I gonna stand up and operate in the power of who God created me to be? I'm here to tell you, every great thing I've ever had in my life has come from me owning being one of one, not trying to fit in. Even this gift of preaching. I started preaching when I was 15 years old. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes this gift of preaching is a burden because God has not called me to open up a church. I just respond to the call when I get invitations like this, and I come. And early on, I was trying to preach like T.D. Jakes. Amen? And then I said, let me try Joe Osteen style, you know. And God said, listen, you can keep imitating them, but the anointing on their originality ain't gonna fall on you. You gotta be your own self. You gotta preach the way I called you to preach. Stop trying to be like somebody else and be the unique person I created you to be. Some of you are trying to imitate the people that you really like, and that is not the way God wants you to go about it. Be yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, be yourself. Be yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, I gotta be me. I want you to say, I gotta be fully me. Okay, I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now here's what's interesting, verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Verse 20. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Now this is interesting. God says it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. And instead of creating Eve, he creates the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and says, here, Adam. Interesting, isn't it? When I look at this text, I say, why would God not create Eve first?
as the way to create the support system for Adam. Because I believe that God wants us to participate in the process. So watch this. Adam has the opportunity for participation with the beasts and the birds. And as he's participating, he is evaluating. I want to pause for a moment. You got to bring more evaluation into your dating life. You believe in people way too easy. No, give it time. Don't just believe what somebody says that they do and who they are. You got more information available to you than at any time in the history of the world. You better evaluate. Does what they say line up with their actions? How are they posting? Look at their feed. Look at it. Investigate. Who am I talking to? No. Wait a minute. No, I see these posts. I see what you like, and no, I'm not falling for it. Evaluate. Don't be afraid to evaluate. Adam had to evaluate the beasts and the birds to determine, as I'm evaluating, I'm getting information. Who was he getting information about? Himself. He's learning. Here's who I am. Here's what I like. Here's what I don't like. I want to pause for a moment. Do you know who you are? Do you know what makes you an individual? Do you know what makes you unique? Do you know what you like? Do you know what you don't like? I love what Pastor Robert talks about. Do you know where you're going? Because then you'll know who to allow to go with you. Spend more time, especially in this season of being single, evaluating and getting information about yourself. Adam had to discover what worked for him before he could come to the conclusion that, hey, I have not found a suitable helper. So evaluation leads to information, which leads to revelation. Adam got the revelation. Wait a minute. The beasts are cool. The birds are cool. But I don't know. It just doesn't quite fit. Pause for a minute. Adam could have ended up with the beast if he wanted to. But Adam said, listen, I'm not going to go for the beast. I'm going to wait for a beauty. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you're settling for beasts. And one of the reasons how you know you're with a beast is because you're with that person and you can't quite be yourself. It doesn't quite fit. They don't even want to come to church with you. They don't even want to watch YouTube on a Bible study. Who am I talking to right now? I know I'm all up in your business, and I don't mind being in your business because it's time for you to put a moratorium on dating beasts. You ain't dating no more beasts. I pray that you would wait for God to bring you the beauty he has for you. Who am I talking to right now? Don't settle. I don't know who this is for. Somebody has already asked you out. You've already said yes. And in your spirit, you know you're settling. Somebody said, yep. You got to cancel the date. I say it with a smile. Why? Because when you know who you are, when you know you're one of one, when you know you are worthy, you don't allow just anybody into your life. You don't allow just anybody into your spirit. When you don't know who you are, you let anybody in. But when you know you are God's very best, you wait for him to bring you his very best. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I want your self-confidence to go up today. Some of you have been lowering your standards and letting people in. Well, if I keep my standards high, I'm gonna stay single for the rest of my life. Have you lost your mind? Why would you speak against God and speak against what he's trying to do? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. According to your faith, be it unto you. If you think your standards are a problem for your love life, they will be. But if you think your standards are the qualification for your love life, they will be. The right person will step up into your life. You don't have to step down into theirs. Who am I talking to right now? You gotta know you're one of one. Do you understand how amazing you are? How powerful you are? How beautiful you are? And too often we're letting somebody else tell us. We're letting somebody else be the determining factor of how good we feel about ourselves. Some of you are saying, well, I ain't been on a date all year. Nobody wants to choose me. We gotta get rid of inaccurate thinking. Because someone has not asked you out on a date, you internalize that as if there's something wrong with you. Well, I don't know. Pause. When was the last time you took yourself out on a date?
I'm gonna talk over here. I'm gonna talk right here. Okay. So I want somebody to do something for me that I'm not doing for myself. I'm good enough to date me. God loves me and I love me. So I'm about to get ready and get dressed and I'm gonna go to the best restaurant. Come on, who am I talking to? I'm gonna go to the movies. I'm gonna go ride my own bike. I'm gonna go run by myself. Why? Because I'm building a life where I love me so that I don't need somebody else to do for me what I'm not doing for myself. Woo.
And just because no one's asked you out on a date, that's not a reflection of you, it's a reflection of them. Oh, Lord, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it, Lord. No.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to get back to my notes in 2 seconds. Here's the thing. It is okay to be clear on what you want. It is okay to, how do I say this? Let's say there's somebody, even here, you've seen and you've been coming to service, and you say, oh, that person looks like they could be the right match. What stops you from finding out? It's fear. Well, what if they say no? What if they reject me? Come on, anybody been there? Come on. Come on, y'all, please. This is the largest therapy group in the world. Come on. Anybody ever had some fear of rejection? And you may have it right now. It's okay. Let's just do a fear of rejection wave. It's okay. We all got it. We all got it, it's all right. But here's what I need you to know. I want you to be so bold in your one of oneness that you don't mind to let somebody know that you're interested, regardless if they're interested or not. Listen, I'm trying to change the culture, why? Because too often we are allowing ourselves to not feel good about who we are and what we want. Adam said, hey, I have not found a suitable helper. And what did he do? He made a request from God. God, hey, I don't know what you're gonna do, but all I know is what you've done, I haven't found the right fit. Instead of complaining, he made a request. Anybody wanna be in a relationship? Who am I talking to? Anybody wanna be married if you're not? Come on, go ahead. I'm raising my hand too. Y'all are hilarious. The devil is alive. Oh, man. Here's the thing. If that's what you want, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you are complaining about being without someone, you may be missing the instruction from the word. Adam did not complain about not finding a comparable helper. He made a request. You got to turn your complaints into prayer requests. So if you just raise your hand, you got to start making a request. Put in your order. Woo! Y'all ain't ready for this. I don't want Social Dallas to ever be the same after this message. I want y'all to be so bold. I want you to be so on fire for the Lord. I want you to be so in faith. You may get rejection, but it's just God's protection, and you're gonna go ahead and keep on selecting until it's the right match. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. Ah. Put in the request. Turn to your neighbor and say, put in the request. Turn to your other neighbor and say, place your order. I gotta keep going. We're almost done. Verse 21, y'all saying a whole lot more than I asked you to say. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, God took one of Adam's ribs, he closed up the flesh in its place, verse 22, then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Now this is interesting here. God takes a rib from Adam. He creates the woman that we now know as Eve, and God brings the woman to Adam.
One of the keys here, if you would like to be in a relationship or you would like to get married, you gotta switch from having a looking spirit to a receiving spirit. See, what is looking? Oh, you know, I can't miss service because they might be there. I gotta, you know, scroll every day and I gotta check all my apps. I'm looking. What happens is when you have a looking spirit, you open yourself up to manipulation. Because that looking spirit is really hunger in disguise. And when somebody knows you are hungry, AKA thirsty, you usually will then be taken advantage of. I'm saying too much. Come on, somebody. So it's not about looking, it's about having a receiving spirit. I want to pause real quick. I know time is getting late. I'm just trying to tell you my truth. Again, I told you, like being single since divorce taught me what it means to be single. But in those first moments of being single after being married for almost 10 years, can I just be transparent? I had a looking spirit. And oh, was I manipulated. I met somebody on IG. I said, oh, wait a minute. A woman of God, she's amazing. This is great. We started having conversations. She said, hey, I'm not on IG. I'm on IG, but can we talk via Snapchat? I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm like, went ahead on Snapchat. Y'all, I'm just telling my truth. Say, hey, I'm just letting you know. I'm not just talking about what I'm talking about. I'm actually living it, okay? So I'm just telling you what happened. Don't judge me. I'm not judging you. Don't judge me, okay? Don't judge me. Y'all, okay, is this a safe space? Is it a safe space? Can I continue? Okay. So real quick. So I went on Snapchat. We started having these conversations. I said, oh man, this is amazing. So then I said, hey, you know of me, but I don't really know of you. Let's FaceTime. Sure, let's do it tomorrow, she said. I reached out the next day, didn't hear from her for a week. She said, I'm so sorry, you know, I lost my phone, now I got my phone back. I said, oh, no problem, and I got right back to talking. We were talking on the phone for another week. I said, hey, I gotta see you. At least let's just FaceTime. Okay, no problem, let's do it tomorrow. I said, okay, cool. So I call her the next day, I don't hear from her for another week. She comes back and says, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I got so busy, da, 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 da. And I say, okay, we keep talking. I had a looking spirit, okay? It opened me up to manipulation, okay? Do you know this went on for months? Do you understand what I am talking about the liability of having a looking spirit? And finally, I realize the problem is not her, it's me. Because I want to find that relationship so badly, I am compromising the integrity of who I am. And I'm allowing a foolish dynamic because I don't feel good about being me. And God said, Devon, you gotta feel good about being you. Even your divorced self is still a blessed self. Who am I talking to? Even though it didn't work the way you wanted, I still have favor over your life, but you gotta wait for the right partner and stop being impatient. Get ready to receive. You don't have to keep looking. And so as I started to get into that receiving posture, it's a confident one. When you say, hey, I'm ready to receive, that means it's coming to you. Woo! You better watch out. God's got something major coming to you. Anybody crazy enough just to do this motion? Like you just pulling it in. Who am I talking to? Oh, see, some of y'all are too vain. You too cute. Anybody ready to receive something from God? Would you go ahead and bring it in? Come on. Hey. Y'all like, well, I don't want somebody to see me doing something foolish. Are you crazy? I'm ready to receive. Amen? Adam was ready to receive, and God brought Eve to Adam. Now watch this. The culture wants to twist all this up. The culture wants women to believe that something is missing if they don't have a man. And the culture wants men to believe that there's nothing missing if you don't have a woman. But watch this. Eve comes into the earth. I'm missing the scripture that says Eve asked the question, where's my man? I don't know if it's in another translation, but I don't see them recording Eve coming into the earth saying, where's my man? Eve comes into the earth, and in my Holy Ghost imagination, she says, you rang.
Because God saved the best for last. I don't know who I'm talking to. God saved the best for last. Now watch this. When Eve came into the earth, she had both ribs. Who was the one missing something? It was Adam. I don't know who I'm talking to. If you are a woman of God, you better not spend another day of your life feeling like something's wrong with you, because God has not brought you the right person. You are whole, you are significant, you are powerful, you are beautiful, you are amazing, you are exactly how He needs you to be. Stop acting like something's wrong with you. It was Adam that was missing something. I got to talk to the men in the house or watching online. I'm here to tell you, don't buy into what the culture says. Oh, you know, I got to have 20. Oh. No. Identify the one. Look for the one. Don't believe that you are better off by yourself than you are with the right person. I'm trying to tell you that. Please. So then what does Adam say? And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken out of man." He says, she's like me, but she's different, but she's like me. That's how you know you found the right person. They're like you, but they're still different, right? It's like they're similarly different. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, right? But in my experience, if you want to identify a healthy relationship or the right partnership, you have to identify what your core values are and make sure there's alignment with their core values. If there's a disconnect in core values, I don't care how cute y'all are, I don't care how attracted you may be, it ain't gonna work. Can I just be honest with you? You got to align yourself with your values so that the person paired to you is like, "Oh, you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." Oh, now watch this, and we are done. I really mean that. Verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." One of one plus one of one equals one of one. When you know how to be one with you, you'll know how to be one with someone else. Because the practice of being one with someone starts with knowing how to be one with you. What is required to be one with you? Do you listen to how you're feeling? Are you kind to yourself? Are you considerate to yourself? Are you loving to yourself? Are you generous with yourself? When you are doing those things for you, those are the same things required to make a relationship or marriage work. When you go into a relationship or marriage and you want them to complete you, you're on the wrong path. I want you to know right now, regardless of your relationship status, you are completed. The last verse says this, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." I need you to know that vulnerability leads to victory. Amen. Don't be afraid to own where you are, when you are, and where you are. It's okay. That vulnerability leads to victory. Anybody here looking for love or want to receive love? Come on, stand to your feet then. Stand to your feet. I told you, we're being bold today. Stand to your feet. You might be watching online. Stand to your feet. If you're driving, don't stand. Just raise your hand. Do me a favor. Put your one in the air. Put your one in the air like this. I want you to repeat this love affirmation. I believe what I receive. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in love. I believe in myself. I am the love I want to receive. I release my anxiety. I release my fear. I release my doubt. I open my hands. I open my heart. I open my mind. I don't wait to love. I love myself now. I love my life now. I love my God now. I love me now. I'm grateful for love now. And I'm grateful excited and ready for the love that I know is on the way. If you receive that affirmation, would you go ahead and give God a hand praise? Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. Put your ones in the air. I want to pray over you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for every single solitary soul in this building. I pray for every one of one under the sound of my voice. If you're listening to this prayer, you have to know how amazing you are, how incredible you are. Even if you're not with someone right now, that does not change the reality of your power. I pray right now you would bless everyone watching this message, anyone in this audience. Let them know in the depths of their spirit that you love them. You have a plan for them. And as long as they just own who you created them to be, you will bring to them the right person at the right time. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go ahead and give Jesus a hand praise. Come on, you can do better than that.
Come on, could you stand to your feet and give Jesus some for real praise today? Also, help me thank God for Devon Franklin for that word. I once heard a leader say that we might lead people through our strengths. We connect to people through our weaknesses. And I'm so thankful, Devon, for your vulnerability, for your honesty, for your transparency, for the power with which you preached. How many of you got something out of that? Wasn't that powerful? One of one. Plus one of one equals one of one. That's God math right there. I want to do one more thing. We've been saying this entire series. A healthy relationship are two people who are whole, who are healthy. Do you love you? Or have you received even the one that loved you so much that he paid the price for your sin? And I would be derelict in my duty as a preacher of the gospel if I didn't give somebody an opportunity today to surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe you've been trying to find it on Snapchat and on apps and wonder why you're still thirsty. But there is a man who is the living water. He can satisfy the longing of your soul. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to give somebody, even if it's one person, an opportunity to receive him today. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd be so honest to say, hey, Pastor Robert, that's me. I hadn't even taken the first step to respond to the Savior of the world who didn't just give us lip service with love. He demonstrated it, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He died before he ever got your decision. That's how much he loves you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you in this room or watching online saying, hey, Pastor Robert, would you pray with me? I need to give Jesus my life. This is a God who restores. This is a God that after the pain and after the breakup and after the divorce, he says, you're beautiful to me. I have a purpose. I have a plan for your life, but you must respond to him. So if that's you, would you just lift up your hand high enough and long enough to where I can see it, said, hey, include me in this closing prayer. I need to give my life to Jesus. Yep, I see that hand. I see that hand. Hands are going up all over this place today. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? This is the greatest love that you could ever respond to. Thank you, God. You are one of one. He loved you so much. He paid the price for your sin. Anybody else? Thank you, God. Can we pray this prayer as one big family, but especially those of you who responded? I'm going to give you the words, but you just say this from your heart. Say, Jesus, I need you. I can't do life without you. Jesus, I know and I believe that you lived the life that I was supposed to live, and you died the death that I was supposed to die. You took my place, so my response is to surrender all of me for all of you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me brand new from this moment forward. I'm walking with you in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen and give God the best praise that you got. Oh, come on, that's a cute little golf clap. You could do better than that. Give Jesus some praise today. That's a word.